morning. Today's daf is Sadi Dala. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is Lona Zechon Shmas Liba Gabriela Bashmuel. We are finishing the 8th parak of Baba Kama right now, and we will, in just a moment, start the 9th parak of the Masechta. We are discussing asking somebody to hurt you, and whether or not you can waive any kind of liability when you give them explicit permission to hurt you. So this is where we are now on Sadi Gimel Amid Aleph, and we are just a little bit ways from finishing the parak. Let's start from the two dots right in the middle of the Amud. Hamar Sima Seinai. So you say to somebody, go ahead, blend my eye, it's totally okay, I'm perfectly fine with it. I know it's going to be painful, but okay, let's, you know, I'm ready. So the Mishnah says that you, the assailant, the person who actually blinded the eye, so you're not going to be Pater, you're going to be Chayiv. So Amalei Rav Asi Bar Chamalei Rav Maishna Reisha Maishna Seifa. So what's the difference between the Reisha and the Seifa and the Mishnah? Amalei Reisha Lefishena Demochal Rashi Avarim. So he says it's very simple. In the Reisha, we're talking about your physical body, your limbs, your extremities. A person is not Mochal, even when he says he's Mochal, but the truth of the matter is a person is not Mochal over his extremities, his actual physical body. The Talmud, the Gemara says, okay, but what about pain? Meaning, okay, you're talking about the actual cutting off of physical limbs, but what about actual pain itself? The Gemara quotes a Braisa. Hikani pitzani amenas liftor pater. So the Braisa says that if I say to you, go ahead, hit me, meaning we go into a boxing ring, although there also you can lose some limbs, but we're going into a boxing ring, and I say, you know what, it's fine. I'm gonna try to hit you, you'll try to hit me. You know, we'll sign waivers. Okay, good. Let's. You ready? You ready? Fine. Okay. You're going to sue me afterwards? Of course, I'm not going to sue you afterwards. The Braisa says you're going to be putter. That there is actually not going to be any liability. So Ishtik. So when he was asked this question, so he's like, you know what? That's a good question. I don't know. Meaning, I can't explain the difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa. So Amar Midi Shmi Alach Baha. So he turns around and he says, do you know anything about this? Amar Lehachi Amar Rav Sheshes Mishum Pegam Mishpacha. So Rav Sheshes says, well, maybe the answer could be a distinction in terms of Pegam Mishpacha. If you blind me, if you cut off an extremity, so I'm going to have to go around looking like this forever, and it's not only going to be embarrassing for me, it's going to be embarrassing for my family as well. And so that's something that you cannot be mochel. Masha ain kain. If we're just talking about pain, so that's my own personal experience. That's not going to impact my family. So that's something that I can waive. That is a distinction between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Idmar Ravoshi Amar Mishum Bekab Mishpacha. The Gemara quotes now Amoraim in terms of understanding what the basic difference is between these Braisas. So Ravoshi also subscribes to this basic distinction of Bekab Mishpacha. Rav Amar Mishum Shein Adamochel Reshe Avarim Shalom. Rava says, no, the distinction is Rashi Avarim, meaning when you're talking about limbs, so that's something that you cannot be mochel on. But pain, you're allowed to be mochel on. And Rav Yochanan Amar Yesh Hein Shehu Kalav Yesh Lav Shehu Kehein. And Rav Yochanan says as follows, that when you're asked a question and you say yes, sometimes yes means no and sometimes no means yes. Now that may be confusing. Well, how are you supposed to answer a question if your yes doesn't mean a yes, and if your no doesn't mean a no? So if you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi writes, Rashi's all the way towards the top of the Amud. So Rav Yochanan Amar Ad Mochel Ala Kol. So really, according to Rav Yochanan, a person can be Mochel on everything. Everything. Meaning Rav Yochanan takes a radically different approach than the Amoraim that we're seeing previously. Previously, right, the Amoraim said, you can't be Mochel on Rashi Avarim. Rav Yochanan says, no, maybe you can. Maybe he can be mochel. And Rashi writes, Ad mochel al kol masisan la'avda amarle nechbal l'chova katas yidi amanashite pater. And in terms of now explaining the Mishnayos and the Braisos that talk about no, there is no waiving of liability, so the Rav Yochanan will say, here's how you're going to explain it. Ella, I'm reading from Rashi. Katas yadi stama. So it was an exchange between the assailant and the victim. The assailant says, well, let's start with the victim. Kata asyadi. So go ahead and cut off my hand. So now the assailant says, okay, fine, I'll cut off your hand, but I'd like to know, are you ready to waive the liability? So va'amar lo hein. And the other person said yes. So v'kamash v'lam asisin d'yeshein shu kalav ukugon demat matmuy. And here now becomes, says Rav Yochanan, the most important part of this whole discussion, and that is inflection. How did you say yes? Did you say yes with a period at the end, or did you say yes with a question mark at the end and an inquisitive what? Yeah, yeah. Right. So not to stereotype, but we Jews excel at this. I just stereotyped. So we excel at this. In other words, we answer questions with a question. So write rhetorical questions. So right, a guy says, I'll cut off your hand, but am I going to be away from liability? And the other guy says, yeah. So in other words, with a little bit of rhetoric, with a little bit of sarcasm, and he's like, of course not. So that's how, says Rav Yochanan, a yes can turn into a no. And conversely, a no can also turn into a yes as well. Okay, so that is Rav Yochanan's approach. Now, according to Rav Yochanan's approach, as Rashi points out, so he really fundamentally disagrees. Meaning, fundamentally, a person can waive liability, even on Rashi Eivarim. Tanya Mihachi, the Gemara quotes a Braisa, Pitanya Amanas Lifter, Varim Elohein, Harish Yesh Heinshu Kalav. So the Braisa says exactly what Rav Yochanan just taught us. That sometimes when, even though you're saying yes, yes really means no, and it, again, according to Rashi, it's all a function of inflection. How did you say the word yes? With a period at the end or with a question mark? Karas Ksusi Amanas Lifter, Varim Elohav, and then you say no, Harei Lav Shu Kehin, and again, the no could also be yes. In other words, inflection can change the entire meaning of the no. No can become yes. Shabbos Kadikaras Susi Chayev. Continuing in the Gemara, remain who? Okay, so the go ahead, break my jug. Go ahead, tear my clothing. So the Mishnah says that you're going to be chayav. Ruminu, the Gemara quotes a Brisa, and the Brisa seems to give a different position, which is lishmor v'lo la'abed. Right, the Gemara is quoting the pasuk from Mishpatim, talking about basic shmirah responsibility. I am a custodian with basic custodial rights. I should say obligations. And the Bryce over here talks about what exactly identifies and defines you as a shomer. Lishmor v'lo la'abed. Lishmor v'lo l'kroa. Lishmor v'lo l'chalek l'aniyim. Some of these are so basic. It's so obvious. Meaning, you know what a shomer means? It means that you're not going to lose it. You know what a shomer means? It means you're not going to tear it. And it also means that you're not going to divide it amongst the poor. Meaning, I'd like it back when I come here. Right. Now, I'm a Rav Huna. Now, before we go on, so what's the issue? Meaning, why is this problematic? Why does this serve as a question against our Mishnah? So Rashi over here points out, again, let's go back to Rashi, Lishmor v'lo la'abe, ki yitain v'gomer lishmor dihivkido atzlo, lishmor chayiv b'pshia. V'lo kishivkido atzlo amanas la'abe. Meaning, says Rashi, what's clear over here is as follows, is that these obligations of not losing it, not tearing it, not dividing amongst the poor people are the very defining roles of what makes you a shomer. However, if I give something to somebody and I say, go ahead, tear it. Yeah, it's fine. No problem at all. So by definition, he's not a shomer. But as Rashi is about to point out, but what's very clear is he can tear it. Meaning, and he won't be liable. So there's a fundamental difference between the Mishnah and the Braisa. In the Mishnah, something belongs to me. I say to somebody, go ahead. Yeah, tear it. And he tears it. So our Mishnah says he's going to be liable. And meanwhile, this Brisa is saying no. That once I give something to somebody, and he is not defined as a shomer, so he can destroy it. And, ostensibly, with no liability. Rashi writes, Amanas la'abed, amanas l'chalak l'anim, de lo karina be lishmor. Once we give it to him, once I give an item to somebody, and I say, go ahead, you can do with it what you want. The kevin da amrle chalkeu sulo demafkininu uman ketava va'aniem lamati tibai tochol chava chamati amar lavla did chayavina elalachrina. So in other words, then there's not going to be a toveya. There's not going to be any claim against him. So this is now the problem between the Mishnah and the Braisa. Our Mishnah says that the person who tears is always going to be chayev, and the Braisa says no. Once I give it to him and he's not a shomer, he's not going to be chayev. So that becomes a problem. Amar Ravuna lo kasha hade asi liyade hade lo asi liyade. So the Gemara says, well, we'll make the following distinction, and that is as follows. It depends whether or not it's already in his hands or it's not yet in his hands. If it's already in his hands, and then he tears it, so then he's going to be chayev. Because once I give it to him, and once it's already in his hands, so now he's a shomer. And now he cannot destroy, now he cannot tear it. But before I give it to him, if I want to state the terms of whether or not there's going to be a liability when it gets into his hands. So that's something that we can do prior to getting into his hands. So So he says, well, I'm not really sure, because the word lishmor seems to indicate that it already got to his hands. The Rashi points out, v'chi yitain. The Torah, when describing the shomer, says you gave it to him, lishmor. And now you're defining the term. So it sounds like from the Braisa that even after you handed it to him, you could still dictate the terms of the Shmira. Elamir Rabba, so Rabba says, Havaha dasli adeno. In both cases, it already entered his hands. Velokasha, hadasli ade b'tor Shmira, hadasli ade b'toris Kriya. Okay, and it's just a question now in terms of how it got to his hands. If it got to his hands as a Shomer, so then we cannot dictate the terms. If I gave it to him just simply to hold, but not as a Shomer, so then he could tear it. How Arnaki, we finished the eighth parak of Baba Kama with one story. How Arnaki did stock at Asla Pumbadisa. So there was a chest of money, stuck of money, that was brought to Pumbadisa after the Rav Yosef Gabehu Gavra. Now, Rav Yosef gave it to a particular individual, Pasha Ba. And this individual was negligent with the chest, with the money. Asu Ganavi Ganvua. And then thieves came and thieves stole it. So Chayvu Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, okay, you were a Shomer, you're therefore, you are going to be liable. Amalei Abai V'atan L'shmar V'lo L'chalak L'aniyim. So the Gemara says, what about the Braisa? The Braisa says that in order to be a custodian, you have to be custodian of a money that was not intended to be dispersed. Meaning, once it's money that's intended to be dispersed, so by definition, you're not a Shomer. And since by definition, you're not a Shomer, so then you're not going to be chayv, you're not going to be liable. This money was intended to be dispersed. So the Gemara says, Amalei, ani d'tumpum b'disa, mikatz kaitlu, v'lishmarhu. So the Gemara gives an interesting answer, and that is as follows. When we're talking about the Anima Pumbadisa, so there wasn't just a simple disbursement of the money, but people were expected certain amounts of money. So in other words, basically, these monies were already earmarked for their recipients. Since the monies were already earmarked for the recipients, it's not called money to be dispersed. It's money that was already identified and earmarked of where it's going to go. Its designation was clear. Therefore, this is still considered Shmira. You're still considered that you have custodial responsibilities. And therefore, Rav Yosef was right. Rav Yosef says that the person is in fact going to be Chayiv Hadron al-Chachovel. That is the end of the eighth parak of Baba Kama. We now start the ninth parak of Baba Kama. Two more parakim to go within the Masechta. Right? You'll see it's Hagozel Eitzim. Or you'll see later on, and I'm sorry, if you look ahead towards the 10th parak also starts off with the words Hagozel. So they gave to make the distinction between the 9th parak and the 10th parak. So the, right, this is, no, what was I say? Hagozel Machel. Okay. But they both, Hagozel Eitzim, Hagozel Machel, both prakim are dealing with Gzela, with theft. Okay, right, we pointed out that the end of Baba Kama is a little bit choppy, meaning the 7th parak dealt with Geneva, the 9th and 10th parak dealt with, is dealing with Gzela, and the 8th parak, which interjected between the two, has to do with Chavala, which really fits more with the first half of Baba Kama. So, right, and we've already raised the issue, really should be, the prakim should go 1 through 6, and then 8, and then 7, 9, 10. Meaning if it was thematically the same, obviously Rav Yehuda Hanasi had a reason why it is that he took the 8th parak and he stuck it right between prakim number 7 through 9, 7 and 9 and 10. And I've yet to really offer a good answer, probably because I don't have a good answer. But in the event,
when you're chavel, you're stealing his part of
the, it's part, it's right, you're taking something from him, okay. You'll say something like that. So Hagozel Eitzim Va'asa Kalim. Now the basic idea that we're going to be seeing today, probably I'm going to hit this word so many times today, and that's Shinui. And the idea behind Shinui is that when I steal something, first and foremost, Ve'eshev Zegzela, I have an obligation to return that which I stole. And so, okay, so I want to do, if I want to do tshuva, and if I want to repair that which I've done, so I bring back the item to him and I fulfill the mitzvah in the Torah of Heishev Zegzela. It's not a mitzvah that you ever want to get to, but in the event that you stole, so you want to fulfill that mitzvah. Now, as we'll be seeing time and again throughout today's daf, if, let's say, I stole an item and I make a shinui, I make a change in the item, so then I no longer have an obligation to return the item itself, because it's not the same item, it's a different item. I have to, of course, make restitution, that which I stole, so there's going to be an appraisal, and I'm going to pay back the appraised value of that which I stole, and we're going to talk about, and the Mishnah itself is going to talk about, I make an appraisal based on the time that I stole it, the time now. Okay, what if it's undergone a change during the time? So we'll talk exactly in terms of when to appraise it, but you'll make an appraisal and you return the appraised value of the item. Okay, and so to say it succinctly, shinui kona. Once there's a change in the item, so you've acquired the item. That's the basic idea that we're going to be seeing now throughout the course of the remainder of today's daf. Let's begin with a Mishnah. Hagozel eitzam afai still wood vasam kalim. And I transform the wood into a kli. Now, the simple pshat in the Mishnah is that I actually physically changed the wood itself. Okay, now, again, just a basic idea, which we're going to also encounter a number of times over the course of this morning, and that is when we talk about change, we could talk about change which are irreversible, and we could talk about changes which are reversible. So, for example, if I buy 2x4s, and I put together a simple structure with the 2x4s, so that's something which is reversible, meaning they were 2x4s. If I undo it, there's still going to be 2x4s. So that is shinoi chozel libriya. So that's a change which is going to be reversible, it's going to go back to its original. As you can imagine, now, say something which is logical, intuitive, that's not such a change. It's a small change. Masha ain't kane, if I didn't buy 2x4s, but I bought just very raw wood, and then I shaved the wood down into 2x4s, so that change is irreversible. I can't bring it back to its original form. So there is a shinu achoz lebriyaso, and there's a shinu she'ain achoz lebriyaso. So you can imagine now that there's going to be a discussion in the Gemara in terms of which one is going to be kona. Are both going to be kona? Or maybe only the shinu she'ain achoz lebriyaso is going to be kona? So again, just a basic idea within the world of shinui. We start with the Mishnah, we are on the very top of Tzadik Gimel, Medbeis HaGozel Eitzim. So if I still would va'asam kelim, and I turn them into a kli. Again, the simple reading of the Mishnah is I actually make a physical change in the wood in order to turn it into a kli. Semer v'asam agadim, let's say I steal wool, and I transform the wool into a beged. Misham kishas exela, so the Mishnah says, okay, so now you stole, now you have to make restitution, now you have to return the item which you stole. The item which you stole now has been changed. The simple reading of the Mishnah is irrevocably changed, and so therefore all I need to do is return the value of the item, right? Misham kishas exela. Now the Mishnah over here is very clear, and that is you return the item based on its appraised value at the time which I stole it. Look at Rashi on the Mishnah. Demei eitzim etzemer ve'ein chayav la'achzer lo kelim dekanim b'shinui. So you bring back the value of the wood and the wool. At the time, from the time that which you actually stole it. Gazel para mi'uberes. Let's say I stole a cow. The cow was pregnant at the time of the theft. V'yalda. And then, while I am holding on to the stolen goods, happens to have given birth. Rachel te'una. Let's say I stole a sheep and the sheep was laden with wool, still attached to the body. V'gazaza. And I sheared it. Mishalom demei para hamedes leledu demei rachel hamedes ligazes. So now again, we're going to go back to what am I obligated to pay? So the seems to be this. Here there is no simple reading of the Mishnah, but it seems to be that what I need to do is I need to return the animal. Although again, that part could be debatable. I needed to return the animal, and at the time when I stole it, it was also pregnant, which means that there was an increased value of the animal. So whatever the balance is in terms of the animal that I'm returning and that increased value, so I have to pay that back as well. That seems to be Rashi's reading of the Mishnah, right? Rashi writes that Demei Rachel Tuna Ligazes Vaha Odef. Sheshava achshav havlad vehagiza yoser shalohu dekanani b'shinui. Meaning, in terms of the actual wool itself and the actual baby that's born itself, so that ostensibly belongs to the ganav. The ganav only needs to return the value difference between the animal, the mother or the sheep, and its in its pregnant state at the time of the theft. Gazal parvin is abra etzlo v'yalda rachav v'nitan etzlo v'gazal zamisham k'shasek zela. Now, let's say the thief steals an animal, and then the animal got pregnant in the property, in the possession of the thief, and then the animal gave birth. So now he's returning an animal basically as he stole it in its original state. So that's good. Let's say he stole the sheep, and the sheep did not have wool at the time, grew wool over the course of being in the property of the thief, then he shears it. So now when he's returning the sheep, he's basically returning to him as it was in his original state. So the Mishnah says, fine, Misham Kshasak Zela. Zeh klal kol hagazlan, Misham Kshasak Zela. You pay back based on the Shasak Zela. Okay. We start with the Gemara Amri, Eitzim Vasim Kelim In Shifan Lo. Tzemer Vasim Begadim In Livnan Lo. From the Mishnah, it seems pretty clear from the Mishnah that you have to make a significant change. Meaning that you have to take the Eitzim and you have to actually convert it into clean, into Kelim. But Shipa, but if all you did was just take wood and you just simply sanded it down. You're right, you planed it down. Or if you took wool, and you didn't actually turn it into clothing, but you just simply whitened it. What it sounds like from the Mishnah is that that's not enough of a change. Remember, we've said this time and again. The Mishnah is there to provide for us the biggest chiddush. If the Mishnah was ready to give us even a bigger chiddush, the Mishnah would be talking about even how smaller changes could be a kinyan. The fact that the Mishnah is telling us that this is a threshold of change, that your kona. So it sounds like from the Mishnah, and that's exactly what the Gemara is starting with, is that any change less than that is not going to be a kinyan. That's fine, uriminu. But the Gemara points out, but we have a brisa, and the brisa seems to indicate otherwise. Gazal eitzim v'shipa avanim v'sisasan, tsemer v'livnan, pishtan v'nakehu, misham kishasak zela. The brisa over here goes over a number of examples where it's just little changes. Wood which I sand down. Stones which I chisel, changing the shape of them just a little bit. Wool that I whiten. And flax that I clean out with my hand. So these are small changes, and in all four of these cases, the Braisa says you acquired it through Shinui. So now what we have seemingly is a discrepancy between the Mishnah and the Braisa. The Mishnah is talking about a major change, so that would be considered a kinyan. The Braisa is talking about little changes. So I'm Rabbi Tani Didan Ketani Shinui de Rabbanan de Hajar Vechoshekin Shinui de Braisa Eitzim Vasim Kelim VeEitzim Meshup Ema Maininu Nesarim de Shinui de Hadle LeBriasahu de Ibai Mishla. I know I just read a lot of Gemara, but Abai says like this. Our Mishnah is talking about small changes, not big changes. Our Mishnah is talking about, by the wood, 2x4s. They already were converted into 2x4s, and all I did was just put them together in order to make a structure. But we're talking about a Shinur Chosel Lebriaso, and that's the point of the Mishnah. That even though there are not major changes, you're still Kona. And then, once you learn the Mishnah, then it's obvious, it goes without saying, that if I make irreversible changes, so then of course I'm going to be Kona. The Mishnah actually is providing for us a major Chiddush, which is that even though it's not a major change, even though all I'm doing is just putting together 2x4s, nevertheless, that's enough of a Shinui where I don't have to give it back. That is what our Mishnah is teaching us. It's not the simple reading of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Eitzim v'asam kelim, but when we read the Mishnah, you see the word Eitzim translates as Abai, the word Eitzim into 2x4. We're talking about beams. And the same thing is true regarding the wool in the Mishnah. The Mishnah talks about wool. It didn't mean raw material wool. The Mishnah meant spun wool. In other words, there was already string in that. And then all I did was just simply turn it into clothing. But all I need to do is just simply undo it. So again, our Mishnah is talking about Shinui Achozo Lebriaso. And the Mishnah is telling us your Kona. And then, once we know that, so then it's obvious that if it's a major Shinui, irreversible change, of course you're going to be Kona. And now there's no disagreement between the Mishnah and the Braisa is just talking about Shinui Doraisa. It's talking about changes that are irreversible. Okay. Vitana Bara, Shinui Doraisa Katani. And the Braisa that we just learned is talking about irreversible changes. Vishinu Doraban Lo Katani. And the Braisa just simply wasn't dealing with the Shinui Derabanans, changes which are in fact reversible. Okay, that is Abaye's approach, and that's how Abaye creates agreement between the Mishnah and the Braisa. But remember, in doing so, the word Eitzim in the Mishnah now is meaning Nisarim. It means beams. It means 2x4. And Semer in our Mishnah means already spun wool. So it is a little bit difficult in terms of defining our Mishnah, but that's Abaye's approach. Rav Ashi Amar Tani Didan Na Mishnah D'Araisa Ketani Eitzim V'Asim Kelim Buchni Dehainu Shipan Semer V'Asim Begadim Namti Dehainu Shino D'Lohadar. So the so Rav Ashi says no, even our Mishnah is talking about Shinui Daraisas. When it says Eitzim and I turn into Kalim, we're talking about a pestle. So the pestle which you have to hollow out, so that is a permanent Shinui. And in terms of the wool, we're talking about making it into, Rashi describes as some sort of felt, where basically I'm pressing the wool. But both of these are changes which are Enuchos or Libriaso. They are irreversible changes, and so that's why our Mishnah says that in fact you're going to be Kona. And then again, according to the second answer of the Gemara, there's now going to be agreement between the Mishnah and the Braisa, because the Braisa is also talking about irreversible changes. Okay, now we're talking about whitening. In the Braisa we just learned, right, as when the Gemara opened up, where the Gemara quoted a Braisa and said that if I whiten it, so that is considered shinui. So the Gemara says, "V'liba mi'avishinu v'reminu lo tafsit lo hispik lino lo ashit savo pater." This brisa that we're learning right now is in Chulin, and it's talking about the mitzvah of reishis hagez. When you have sheep and you shear sheep, the first shearings need to go to a kohen. Part of the matnos kahuna, part of the gifts that we give to the kohen, and that is the shearings of the wool. The halacha is, the Gemara in Chulin records that it's got to be 5 sheep, and it's got to be mana upras. It's got to be a certain amount of shearings that you shear in order for this mitzvah of reishis hagez to kick in. How much do you give to the kohen? You have to give him an asina. You have to give him a significant amount. The Torah does not give an actual shear itself, but in other words, but the amount that you need to shear in order to be chayav in the mitzvah of reishis hagez has to be mana upras, coming off of 5 sheep. That's the Mishnah in Chulin. What we're learning now together is, what if while shearing you make irreversible changes in the wool? So then it will not be mitzarif, it will not combine to get to the requisite amount. Now, should you be doing this? Is this right to do? It's not perfectly clear, right? I can easily make the argument that you shouldn't do this. In other words, you should put yourself in a position of fulfilling the mitzvah of reishis hagez. But right now, we're not talking about...
There's no issue of mitzvah about that, right?
Yeah, right. We're not... right. The Bryce over here is not really dealing with whether this is right, whether this is wrong. The Bryce is just dealing with the very technical discussion of whether or not it is going to be a shinui, there's not going to be a shinui, and it will it be mitzvah to get to the shear of Mana upras. The Braisa says, "Lo hitzbik livna lo ashit savo pater livna velo tzivo chayiv." If all you did was just whiten it, the Braisa says that's not a shinui, and therefore it can be mitzar if it can combine in order to get to the shear. Amar Abaye. So here we have now another stira, because this Braisa is telling us that whitening is not a significant change. The previous Braisa told us that whitening is a significant change. So the Gemara also is going to try to resolve this as well. Amar Abaye lo kasha. Hi Rabbi Shimon, hi Rabbanan detayin. So Abaye's answer is it's a machlokus. Hatanayim, the Gemara quotes the Braisa, Gazzo, Tavo, Argo, Ein Mitzareif. If I were to shear, spin, and weave it, so it's not going to be Mitzareif. That is a significant change. However, Livno, if all I did was just whiten the wool, Rabbi Shimon Amar Ein Mitzareif, Chacham Amar Ein Mitzareif. So Rabbi Shimon says it does not combine, meaning it is a Shinui, and therefore it won't combine to get to the shearer. And the Chachamim said, no, whitening is not enough of a significant change, and therefore they will combine. Okay, so Abaye says, we see it's a machlokas tanayim. Once we now know it's a machlokas tanayim, so Braisa number one and Braisa number two are just simply reflective of the two different positions. Rava Amar Havaha Rabbi Shimon Velo Kasha. Rava says, no, we could both say that they both of the Braisa subscribe to the position of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that, but whitening is considered a shinui, and now we're saying it depends on what kind of whitening we're talking about. Hadanavtse nefutse, hadasarke seruke. We're now going to make a distinction in terms of the process that it went through. If the process that I went through is naftei nefutzei, Rashi describes it as I'm cleaning out the wool, but I'm doing so by hand, so that's not so significant. Masha'enkein, masrik saruki, if I do it with a comb, so that is something which is much more significant. The Gemara says that's basically now how much work did I put into it in order to whiten it. Rabbi Chabraba Amar, hadechaver chavura, hadechaver chavurei. A similar idea. If I just washed it, that's not so significant. If I washed it with bleach, that's significant, that's whitening, and that is irreversible. The Gemara says, okay, I'm now bothered by another issue. We have just established that according to Rabbi Shimon, again, depending on which answer you subscribe to, but according to Rabbi Shimon, whitening is a shinui. As long as there's enough process are, again, we just offer two explanations in the Gemara, either combing it with a comb or whitening it with bleach. But according to Rabbi Shimon, whitening is a significant process which constitutes a shinui. Meanwhile, dyeing according to a DY, dyeing according to Rabbi Shimon is not going to be significant, and that obviously poses a problem. If you think whitening is significant, for sure dyeing should be significant. And meanwhile, the Gemara now poses another problem. The Tanya we learned in a Braisa. Gazaz Rishon Rishon Vitzavo Rishon Rishon Vitavo Rishon Rishon Argo ain mitzaref. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon tzavo mitzaref. So the Gemara quotes in the name of Rabbi Shimon. The Braisa quotes that if I dye it, it's not going to. I'm sorry. It will be mitzaref, which means it's not a shinui, and therefore we have a simple problem over here. Amar Rabbi Lokasha. So Abai says again, it's not difficult. Harabbanan libe de Rabbi Shimon. Harabbi Shimon ben Yehuda libe de Rabbi Shimon. So Abai's answer is machlokes tanaim within the shita of Rabbi Shimon. Various opinions amongst the Tanaim, the later Tanaim, of what Rabbi Shimon's intent was. Rav Amar Lolam Lopligi Rabban Alad Rabbi Shimon Ben Yehuda. So Rav says no. Well, let's not say it that way. Vishani Tseva Hol V'Yachol Avir Al Yidei Tzafon. Dyeing is reversible. If I put a dye, a color, into clothing, I can remove it with some sort of chemical. The Gemara calls it Tzafon. Okay, soap. So the vechi ketani hasam lo ispik litno lo ash itzava pater v'ukimna kedivrei hakol bekali ilan dolo avar. Now there was a brisa that says that if I color it, if I dye it, I'm going to be exempt because dyeing is irreversible. So we'll simply say that that kind of dye is kala ilan. Kala ilan, you will hear a number of times throughout the Gemara. Kala ilan is a blue dye. It looks very similar to tcheles. It was in other Gemaras the counterfeit tcheles that was used. Remember, there were other Gemaras that talked about you needed a hechsher by the dye. Right? In the good old days, when we used to buy blue tzitzis, I know it's making a comeback. But in the good old days, when we used to buy blue tzitzis, so there was tchelis and there was kala ilan, and kala ilan was a counterfeit. So there were certain hechsherim that were needed so that people knew. For our purposes right now, all we need to know is that kala ilan is a dye that really sticks. It's a permanent dye, and that is when the Braisa says that if I were to dye it, that is an undoable action. That is talking specifically about kala ilan. Okay. Where do we stand right now? That was a lot of steers between Mishnah's, Braises, and Braises. But basically, where we stand right now is that if it's an irreversible change, that for sure is a kinyan. And if it's a reversible change, so we can perhaps say that that is subject to a machlokus, whether or not that is or that is not considered a kinyan. Okay, but basically, what we have said since the beginning of our parak is that kinyan is, I'm sorry, the shinu is kona. That once you make a change in an item, so that's going to be kona. And now it brings us to the next part of the Gemara, Amar Abaye. We are inside the Gimel Amud Alf. We are inside the Gimel Amud Beis. We're towards the bottom of the Amud, and we start now with a sugya of there are Tanaim who are of the opinion that shinui is not kona. Now, again, it is basically the tenet of our perek that she knew is kona, but Abai now is going to talk about there are opinions out there. Amar Abai, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Rabbi Shammai, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Rabbi Yishmael. Those are five tanaim, kulu svir lehu shinu bimkoma omeid. All five of them are of the opinion that even though you make a shinu in an item, it's not going to affect a kinyan, and the thief who stole is still going to return the item, even in its changed state. Look at the second to last Rashi on the Amud. I'm reading, Bimkoma omeid. Ain zu mirushus. I'm sorry. Ain zaz. I even put my glasses on. Ain zaz mirushus balim. It does not move from the original owner. Harishonim va'afilu nishtane. Even with the change, it still belongs to the owner. Even with change. And these five to nine all subscribe to that viewpoint. And now we're going to go through each one of them individually.
It's improved.
We're going to discuss. I mean, you're asking. You can ask within the accepted halacha, or you can ask within these shitas. Okay, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda hadamar. Now, as far as Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, so the Gemara says, been there, done that. Meaning, that's an opinion that we saw just about 10 lines above. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda said in the name of Rabbi Shimon that even though you die the item, it's still going to be mitzaref. It's still going to combine. So, and dying is something which would seem to be a permanent change, although again the Gemara, you could debate that point. Maybe some, right, certain dyes are, you know, you could wash out, but okay. So Rabbi Huda, so but Rishimim and Yehuda Adamaran. Again, this is Abaye's list. So according to Abaye, even though you've made a change, it's not gonna change ownership. Beit Shammai Ma'i did not said this opinion of Beit Shammai should sound familiar. It is familiar. We did this back in the 7th parak of Baba Kama, so this is literally not that long ago. Beit Shammai Ma'i did not. We learned in a Mishnah. Nasan lachitim be'etnena. So a man hires a prostitute and he gives her wheat, and that serves as payment for services rendered. Va'asan solas, and then she takes the wheat and she grinds it into flour. Zaysan vasa shemen, you give her olives, and the resourceful zona then presses it and turns it into olive oil. Anavan vasa yain, you give her grapes and she turns it into wine. Tanicha da'asa v'tanya idach moter. Now, can these serve as karbanos for the Beis HaMikdash? Right? The whole presupposition of this Mishnah is the Isser in the Torah of what's called Esnan, which means that if a prostitute received payment for services rendered, and that payment comes in the form of animals or wheat or olive oil or wine, things that could be brought on the base of Mikdash, the Torah says Lo Savi Esnan Zona. You can't bring Esnan Zona, it's just not appropriate. Right, it's pasnish, but it's more than pasnish, meaning it's an isser in the Torah. But now we're talking about where she makes a physical change in the item. So that which she's bringing is not the actual item itself. It's now a changed item. So the Braisa says, Tani chadas or Tani etani idach mutter. Two Braisas. One Braisa says yes, the other Braisa says no. Other way around. No, yes. The Amr of Yosef Tani Guryon Demi Asparik. We're now on the top of Tzadi Dalet Amud Aleph. Beit Shammai Osrim Beisila Matirin. Very simple. Machlokas Tanayim, where Beit Shammai says it's Osrim, Beisil says it's Mutar. Now, my time at the Beit Shammai, Amr Kra, Gam Shneim, Larabo Shinu Yeyim. So Beit Shammai is of the opinion that the Gam in the Pasuk of Esnan Zona, Gam Shneim, includes even the Shinu as well. So that means that even though she didn't get flour, she got actual wheat. She didn't get oil. She got the olives. Even though she made a change, and nevertheless, it's still going to have the status and the label of Esnan Zona. Ubeisila Amar Kra, Haim Velo Shinu Yaim. No, only the original items are going to be disqualified for the Beis HaMikdash. Once affecting a change in the item, so then she could bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. It's a new item. Yes, and also add that in this case, we're not talking about theft. Meaning she legally acquired it. Now again, it's not the best profession, and we're not condoning the profession, but she legally acquired it. Okay, so it's a little bit different, but, right, and Tosos back, right, where was it? Samachay Amid Beis. So Tosos over there said that even though they're not exactly the same, but the premise is the same. That once they make a shinui in an item, so that's it's a new item. Right, panim chadash is balakan. It's a new item, so that's true regarding our zona. Who now, once she makes a change, according to Beis Hillel, once she makes a change in the item, it's a new item. It's not the same item that was given to her for services rendered. So now taint is gone. The shinui makes it a new item. Similarly, when you have the goslin who steals something, so he changes the item. It's a new item. Obviously, he stole. Obviously, has to make restitution, but not with this item. Okay, and Beit Shammai disagrees, and that's exactly Abaye's point. Beit Shammai is the second of the five Tanaim who say that Shinu b'mkom ha'omed. Now, we're gonna bounce back and forth because we did this before, we're going to do it again. Beit Shammai haksev haim, ha'omi ba'ilei haim v'lo v'lado seim. Yeah, the haim means that the animal itself is going to be possible, but let's say the animal has a baby, so that baby is fine. So Beit Shammai tarti shammai mina haim v'lo shinaim haim v'lo v'lado seim. So Beit Beis Hillel will tell you, what do you mean? I think it's exactly the same point. Derivatives are fine. If I change an item, so it's a new item. It's a derivative item. If the animal has a baby, it's a new item. It's a derivative item. Only the original is going to be asr. Beis Hillel nami haksiv gam, gam la Beis Hillel kasha. And then the Gemara says, and the Gemara made this point earlier, so that, yeah, so for the gam, what is Beis Hillel going to do with that? Gemara says, head scratcher. Okay, we don't know. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Maihi. We're up to now the third Tana, who subscribes to Shinu Bimkom Ha'omed according to Abaye. Did Tanya the Gemara quotes a Brisa, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Omer. Harish Gazel Sa Shel Chitim. Let's say you steal wool. Sorry, so many items going through my head. Let's say you steal chitim, you steal wheat. Tachna la shavafa. You ground it. You kneaded it. You baked it, v'hifresh memenu chala, and then you separated chala because, of course, that's a mitzvah in the Torah to separate chala. Chala that you separated from stolen bread. So ketz mevarech and mevarech ela menayet. That's not a bracha. That's a niyutz. That's an affront to Kodesh Baruch Hu. How can you make a bracha on something which you stole? V'alzan nemar botzei berach niyutz Hashem. And the Torah says that being botzei, breaking such bread, and making a bracha on such bread, niyutz Hashem. That's an affront to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Hold that thought. Hold it, and we're gonna bring it back in just a moment. Okay, so and the Gemara says and what's this is Abaye's assumption. What is behind this opinion? Right, ignore what Ben said for the time being, because it's good, because the Gemara is going to come back to that in just a moment. But ignore that thought. And now the Gemara is assuming, Abaye is assuming, yeah, even though I made a change in the item, it's still the original item. It's still stolen goods, and change does not. It's not going to impact the fact that it's still stolen goods. And now, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Ma'i de Tanya, that we're up to the next Tana. Klal Zama, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Kol Shevach, Sheishbiach, Kazlan, Yado al Yona. Anytime that a thief steals something and he puts Shevach, he makes an appreciation in the item. So Yado al Yona, he's got the upper hand. Ratza Noto, Shivcha Ratza, Omer La HaResha, Chalafanech. If he wants to take the Shevach, that's fine. If he wants to just return the item with the Shevach, so he says, HaResha, Chalafanech, okay, here it is. Is. Now, my comment, now the Gemara says, now that last part is a little bit tricky. Because Haresho Chalafanecha is generally speaking the line that you use when you're shortchanging somebody. When you're saying, look, I'm really sorry, but Haresho Chalafanecha. You don't normally say Haresho Chalafanecha when you're giving him something plus. You know, that's not the line that you say. So Amar Rav Sheshet Hachi Kamas, Rav Sheshet says you're right. And we're going to have to go back to the Braisa, and we're going to have to reinterpret the Braisa. Hishbicha noto shivcho. So if he puts an appreciation in the item, so the Ganav gets to keep the appreciation. Returning back the basic item, but keeping the appreciation. Kachash, but let's say he does the other. Let's say he wears down the item. So Omer la harishal chalafanecha, so he says, look, I'm really sorry, but... Okay, now, but even after saying now good pshat in the braisa, but the point is still there that even though a change was made in the item, but still you get to say hareishal chalfanecha. So the Gemara says, well, shinu bimkom ha'omed. So even when you make appreciation in the item, shouldn't you be returning the item to the original owner? Meaning it should be working in both directions, both latov and lara. So the Gemara says, yeah, but takanas hashavim. But remember, and we're going to see this idea a number of times in our parak, and that is that the rabbis wanted people to do tshuva. And so therefore, encouragement is, you should be returning it back. And in this case, even with the appreciation, but we want to encourage people to do tshuva, so let him keep his appreciation. Number five, according to Abai, the fifth Tana who says that Shinu Bimkom Ha'omed, Rabbi Shmuel Ma'id Detanya Mitzvahs, Pe'ala Hafresh Menakama. You have to take a corner of the field and give it to the poor people. Now, the right way to do it, the correct way to do it, is while it's still connected to the ground. Corner off, literally, corner off part of your field and dedicate it to the Aniyim. Lo Hafresh Menakama, Ma'afresh Menahomim. Now, if let's say you forgot to do it, and you already harvested, okay, it's not too late. Still, so now you'll just simply section off part of the stalks after they were cut. Now let's say you went further processing the kernels of wheat, and now you have a pile of wheat, meaning the kernels. So again, not too late, give a portion off to the Aniyim. Now, what if you smooth off the top of the pile, which is the end of the processing? And now, all your trumas and maisers kick in. So here now, you're supposed to be giving the ani pre-tax dollar. But now that you were smoothed off the top of the pile, now you have an obligation of trumas and maisers. That now you can't give to the ani, because you're going to be giving something to the ani where he needs to take off the taxes of trumas and maisers. So no, first you take off trumas and maisers, and then afterwards you give the payah to the ani. Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Amar Af Manfresh Mina Isa V'Nosein Lo. Even if we're at the point now where it's dough, where we went through physical change, where I ground down the item and I mixed it with water and I'm making dough out of it, still there's an obligation to give it to the ani. And the reason why is, even though I've effected a major change in the wheat, shinu bimkoma elmeid. So now Abai says, that's my list of five tanaim who all subscribe to the opinion of shinu bimkoma elmeid.
In terms of ownership, this entire process, everything belongs to this guy. You may have an obligation towards it, but it's sort of come a different analogy.
Wait, just wait. You'll see that point also is going to be clarified. So Rapapa says to Abaye, and exactly what was your thesis? Where did you want to go with this entire discussion? Are you trying to put all these tanaim together with Beis Shammai? Amar le achi kamar lo nechluga Beis Shammai Beis Alba Davar. Said no. I'm telling you that these tanaim believe that there was no machlokus on the matter. Amar Rav mi mai doma. Adkan, and now Rav is going to take Abaye and basically pick him apart piece by piece, tana by tana. And we're going to go again over all five of these tanaim, and Rav is going to assert, you got it all wrong. None of these tanaim are against the principle of Shino Ikona. And let's go step by step. As far as Rabbi Shimon and the dyeing is a reversible change. You could just simply wash the dye out. And so therefore, that's not a shinui. And now, as far as the prostitute and giving the changed item to the base of Mikdash, so now Danny's point that he raised before is going to come into play. It's tainted. So even though it went through a change, and even though shinui is kona, but you're not going to bring it on the Mizbeach. It's nimas. It's disgusting. Now we have Ben's point over here, which is, you're not going to make a bracha on stolen bread that you made and take off challah and make a bracha on it, but that has nothing to do with shinui kona, shinui bim koma omeid. That has to do with the fact that mitzvah haba ba'avera. And as far as you stealing an animal, the animal has now slimmed down. Okay, you fatten it up. So that's a shinui echoz abriyaso. It's not a shinui. V'adkan lo kamer Rabbi Shmuel Hasam alalinyan peyam mishum dechsev tazov yisera. As far as the pay is concerned, the Torah says tazov not once but twice. That means that you have a reinforced obligation in the Torah. You must give payah to the ani. And even if you make a change in the item, you still have to give payah to the ani. So v'chite malig marminei samanas ani ashani. So the Gemara says, and why does not become now the base model? The Gemara says it can't become the base model. It's different. Kid the by Rabbi Yonas and the by Rabbi Yonas and my time and the Rabbi Shimon Shushim the Kasaver. Shino Eino Kona or Dilma Baama Kasaver Shino Kona. V'achemishum Dechsev Tazov Yisera. So the Gemara says exactly the question when Rabbi Shmuel says the payah is going to be given to the ani, and I don't care if you made a change. Is it because he doesn't believe in Shino Kona, or is it because this is different because of the reinforced tazov? And if you want to tell me shinui, he disagrees with the whole principle of shinui kona, why does the Torah say tazov twice? And according to the chachamim, what are you going to do with the reinforced with the double tazov? The Gemara says for that we're going to use it for an entirely different brisa. Let's say a person declares his field ownerless and he's just doing it for the loophole in tax. So that, in other words, we know that an ownerless field is not chayv b'trumas ha'maisos. And then the next morning, early in the morning, he gets to his field and, oh, look at that, it's ownerless. Who knew? Yes, he declared it ownerless. And so the Gemara says, "Ubitzur chayv beper bevolos v'shichov apeya upatam in a meiser." And so he's going to be chayv in all the matnos aniyim. All he was just trying to do was evade taxes, and it's obvious, and it's still going to be chayv in the matnos aniyim. So you see that matnos aniyim is fundamentally different, and we cannot use it to learn other halachas based on it.